Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we are Insensitive is the New Strong by Anita Mirjani. We're in part three, which is your relationship with the world. And, boy, this is a really great introduction to really the different aspects. And this show is called The Two Stages of the Empathic Journey. And, boy, you know, unpacking this with Amy, I think it's going to be really great. So I love what the mantra for this chapter is I am more than my physical body. I am an eternal body or an eternal being. I'm going to go ahead and get my co-host, Miss Amy, how are you tonight?
I'm really, really nervous. I'm really afraid because the title for Chapter 7 is Dying to Be You. That sounds like, you know, that whole switch to 13, what is it, 1330? Am I going to become you? Mm-hmm.
No, this isn't like like that one movie, the movie with the twins where you turn into each other. No.
Right, exactly. So,
but in saying that, how would we know?
I don't know. Well, I know.
I know that you know.
If I was you, I'd be putting glitter everywhere. I'd be remaking everything beautiful. I mean, you know.
Exactly.
You know, be strong enough. You know, I'd be doing
right? Exactly. You know, they're like, be strong enough. What does that mean? Anyway, so.
It's a secret code.
Before the show, Amy was sharing there on the Food Network, they have a new show. It's called, what is it called?
The Julia Child's Challenge, where
Julia Child's Challenge. Yeah. And one of the first episode, they were asking people to make the dinner that inspired them to want to be a good cook.
Exactly.
And I was like, I think that conversation to have with people, especially if you know
too.
People that you know cook on a regular basis. Yeah.
That's your assignment.
It's very telling about people. Yeah, I think so too. You know, of course, mine are like spaghetti and beef stroganoff, so it's like comfort food. You know how that goes. Mm-hmm. And being all that good stuff. And it's funny because when you put dying to be you, I kind of like, oh, I'm even going to bypass that, which I think is interesting with this chapter, the fact that you said dying to be you. But if you look at Anita, and we'll go back to her story of having the near-death experience that she had, her first book was all about the experience of her dying, going to the other side, and coming back again. And you know, Dying to Be Me is the name of the book. So the fact she's saying dying to be you, she really owns this in such a knowing way. And, you know, it when it comes to these two different stages, the first one's really about looking at the transformation. She talks about the two stages of transformation in an empathic journey of, you know, in being an empath and offering the ways of becoming aware of yourself. You know, that's like the first stage of, you know, how do I learn about myself? You know, some people have a near-death experience, and then, you know, it's one of those things. I love what she says in the chapter is like, once you know, you can't unknow.
Right.
You know, you can't pretend that these things didn't happen.
Even
if you wanted to. When I read that, it reminded me of like when you're coming out of a shell and then you try to pack yourself back into a shell, that you just know where you're going to fit in.
Little hermit crabs, they outgrow their shell.
And they're like, you know, I want back in my cell. I'm like, nope, it ain't happening. You know, you've had these, life experiences that have just shown you that there's more. And, you know, what can that look into? And then that's a perfect, you know, perfect segue to the second stage, which is about, you know, we're wanting to seek to be, you know, external in the way that we are expressing and relating to the world, but yet we have these experiences like, you know, how do I bring that in and have it make sense to me? And in one of the other parts of the book, Anita was really great to talk about, you know, when you're an empath, you've got senses that, you know, you're being forced to have a five sensory world when you're sixth sense. You know, you've got these extra abilities that you have that really make it challenging to be able to say, well, you know, that's not me. That's not me when it comes to being able to have those ways that you struggle for being able to do that. She says the second stage which could be seen as external, is about how you relate to the world after these transformational experiences. The stage is about the integrating of what you've experienced into a daily life. And it's the one people that are struggling. I mean, she said this is the one thing people struggle with more than anything. And she said, for good reason. It's intimidating to maintain the sense of self-love and connection to an inner mystic or cosmic web of consciousness when there's horns blaring at you, and cell phones are buzzing, and you've got this urgency and this disconnection about everything when the world is pulling you away from just a sense of what's really going on, which is like, going to those outside influences instead of really tuning in to see what you need to do. And that's something that we'll be looking at a little bit later in the chapter about tuning in. So what did you
think
of this
chapter?
And
I want to remind everybody, we've been working on the book, and so we've got the previous podcast that can be very helpful, in getting to this point. So just, you can always go back and look at those, who am I as an empath, and some of the tools to support you. But, yeah, I love how she talks about, and I think that's the real work, isn't it, is like how do we take these experiences that we have and, use them to live in day-to-day life, and I think that's so much of all of it. And she's here at the bottom of 120 to withstand them. I use the keys, when you have stuff going on. I use the keys I offer in this book, focusing on self-love, connecting with the inner mystic, listening to my intuition, and keeping my life force energy on high. I had to be myself fearlessly. So that's why I say you might want to go back and, relook at, some of the chapters and listen to the podcast, because she's been helping us to get to this point.
Yeah, and there's so many great lessons in that. And what I really love about Anita's honesty and just being very transparent about her experiences and what she knows is just like, I was even just watching her. I mean, that's one of the reasons I felt motivated to want to do the book with the cafe. It's really seeing, she's the real deal. You can tell by the way she's just honest and the way she shares about her experiences. And when she's sharing about self-love and what's really important in a lot of these things, you just like, it would be, earthly experiences with this stuff when, your spirit having a human condition, a human experience. So it's like being able to broaden that, your focus on what you have with everything. So in the next section, she calls it, "What's in Your Marinade?" And I love that. I was like, when I read that title, I was like, what? What are we talking about here? And she talks about it's just an individual environment that it's just like your mix. It's just like, I would say soup. What's your soup? How the same kind of a thing.
Right.
All these things that have put you together that, transformational experiences that were temporary, but then you got lifted from who you are and what you've been, and then being dropped back into this overview of your life and, how does this make sense now?
Well, it's like, all those beliefs, right, who you thought you were. And what comes to mind is, if you haven't done it, something to consider is looking at the Course in Miracles. I think that really talks about, I'm not a body. I'm not my mind. I'm not my body. I'm not my emotions. I'm, a spiritual being, having a human experience. So I think that might be helpful too. But, so it's like, all these beliefs. And so once you, and she talks about this experience, is that a spiritual transcended experience feels more real than our earthly reality. And it's, if you haven't had it, I hope that you get to. And it's when you have that, it kind of throws you back. And you're like, 122, she says, a transcendent experience is more like a portal that opens, inviting you to walk through it. It never really fades. And I think everyone that I've spoken to who has had a near-death experience or awakened would agree on that. It's like a doorway that once opened never closes, so the clarity or wisdom never really disappears. Once you walk through it, your life will never be the same as the one that you left. And I think, there are people who have, with her experience, and if you haven't read Dying to Be Me, I highly recommend it, where she was right on the, she really technically died and coming back. I believe that we've all had those experiences when we have these really intense things happen in our life. I mean, COVID is a perfect example. What our jobs were, what our relationships were, what our health was, everything is shifting. And I think we all have had this opportunity for this near-ending experience, or however you want to look at it. Does that make sense, Robin?
I think so. Because it's just that matter of, like, really being pulled out of what's the norm, what's what we've considered the basic reality, and having this other, you know, forced, you know, thing of, like, you know, this is what we're doing now, and having that, you know, look at that, whether that puts you into, you know, staying in your home. And, like, for me, it was being out, but actually seeing how people were seeking to function, you know, with that. It was like, I have a neighbor across from my flower shop yesterday, and she came over to kind of see what I had going on. I had a bunch of yard work and stuff happening, and she came over just to kind of say hello. And she was getting ready to leave, and she kind of leaned in, and she goes, is it bad? I really kind of miss COVID. and I just said, no, but I can see that, you know, what did I miss? I missed, you know, people being respectful and kind of recognizing we're all kind of going through something. You know, there was that tolerance for everybody's doing the best they can with what they've got going on. And we can't even know what that is. And we all kind of realize that. We could all sit down and we'd have the story to tell everybody, no matter what it was.
Absolutely.
You know, of like how
so
we're dealing and doing with everything. Yeah.
And on Flower for Living, we're doing a lot of talking about that this is a restart for everybody. And, you know, it's almost like not talking about the old energy anymore, because it really doesn't matter. It's about who are you being now? What are you doing now? And it doesn't matter what your job was before, your relationships were before, any of that. And so here she talks about, and I think, these couple of sentences are like, here as we're reentering, you know, our lives, she says, so the bottom line is being true to the new you. Be yourself fearlessly. Everything else will fall into place. And to me, that's after this pandemic, right?
Yeah, when did
she
write
that new you?
I think it was written in 18. I think she had it published in 18. So there you go, a couple of years before everything happened. And this, I think that's so poignant that's you know, so many people that when you're kind of ahead of the wave and you have these senses of things that are going to be happening and how they happen, you're like, why is this happening to me? And yet everything else around your world seems to be kind of normal. And then this kinds of stuff happens. You know, I can think of that for me. It was like, you know, in the early 2000s when I had felt like my life fell apart and then came back together. So in having that fall apart, it really showed me my sense of, you know, how strong I can be and what's really important when it comes to a lot of different ways that you look at life. So, you know, whether it's relationships or whatever, it's really showing you that spirit having, and for me too, at that point in my life, I was, you know, I thought I had a great relationship with my spiritual life, and I went to deeper levels that I never knew I could even go to. So it was that invitation of really having what a lot of people call the dark night of the soul, or, you know, there's other terms for that kind of thing, where there's just this deepening that if you can allow yourself to walk through the mud for a little while, that you come back out on the other side and you're in a totally different place. It may look very similar, but you know it's different. Yeah.
So
very profound,
what we're talking about now is, like, now as we, you know, we're reentering, you know, it's like, it's great to go to a retreat and to be mindful and peaceful, but then, right, the real rubber meets the road when you come home. And so that's where we're at now. It's like, okay, we've had these experiences. We've had our, you know, COVID, you know, experience, our retreat experience, however you want to look at that. And now what happens when you think, okay, now I'm going to be this new me, and I'm going to live without being in that marinade. I'm going to live beyond the filters. I'm going to be who I really am, unencumbered by all that. And then something happens to you. You don't get the job you want, or, you know, the relationship you thought you could count on, you can't count on now. Then what do you do?
Right. So, and she does a really great job of talking about filters and mirrors, and really that's kind of what we're talking about when it comes to belief systems of, and I really love what she talked about, because she said, ultimately, you know, any kind of belief systems or filters is basically a human. When it comes to our spiritual life and who we are on us, you know, when it comes to our spiritual awareness of ourselves, all those things fall away. There's nothing with any of those things. And to me, that was like, ooh, that's such a relief.
Yeah,
like
exactly. And, you know, giving each other a bit of grace, you know?
Right. And it just makes me want to think about present moment. because we're in the present moment, we're in the now, and when we're in the now, it's the, all that seems to just kind of fall away. Not that we may not have something we're dealing with, but in the sense of this moment, I can be where I need to be present with what this is, and not allow my mind to go forward or backwards with all of it.
So I want, you know, us and anybody who's listening, whenever you're listening to this, so as we're walking towards being that authentic self, live the calling that we're here to do, have a life of grace that we want to have, you know, kind of let's hold with that and see those obstacles coming forward. We did some work this morning. Robin, if you can get yourself in that space, I'd love to have you share that moment, that experience that you shared with us in Flowerful Living this morning.
The meditation? We did a meditation as part of our Zoom call that we had, and just to kind of do a little content with it. We're doing Flowerful Living, and starting next month, we're going to be having Inner Garden memberships and also Secret Garden memberships, and both will have different kinds of content that are going to be available. With some of these contests where we're having master gardeners that are going to be speaking a lot of different spiritual aspects of what's going on with things. And with the secret garden, there'll definitely be a lot of access to conversations that that are very profound. We ended up talking about a lot of different things in the sense of how we can be empowered creatively and things like that. So I was guided to do a meditation that I just kind of opened and had everybody connect. And then we were all in a pool. And Mother Earth was holding the pool, kind of like imagine if she had her two hands together and she was holding the water. And I said, you know, imagine yourself on a raft and you've got your hands extended out so you can feel the water. And the water from your left hand was actually, you know, energizing and coming into your body and reminding you about your gifts and talents and the things that, you know, you might have put to the side. And then just lifting and helping to rise all of that up. And then the right hand would be back in the water and letting go of all the, you know, anything that you would, the self-talk and all the things that, you know, you needed to let go of so you could totally embrace who you are with your gifts and what that looks like for the world. And then from that, there was just kind of the energy from the water kind of lifted, and there was this rainbowed cloud that came over you, and it just rained all kinds of joy and love and creativity around you and upon you, and anybody who came within your influence would feel that rain, the rain of beauty and creativity and all that on an energetic level. So, you know, we got all done. We're like, wow, that's great. Okay.
Well, and
let's be a part of that,
those,
you know?
Right, moments to do that. And so within the context of your normal day, stopping and allowing that spirit, right, to fill you up and
right.
to support you, and trusting that that connection with the global consciousness and your own soul connected to source. So that was beautiful. Thank you, Robin. And one of the things that she talks about, of course, is we've got information coming, you know, all the time if we choose to allow it. And she talks about that you may be getting some answers in the middle of the night, you know, and I know I've heard, and I know I've certainly experienced that a lot of times, like between 3 and 4 in the morning, that's an optimum time for information to come in. So for me, what I do is I keep a notebook. Well, I have the notepads all over my house. So when I get something, I write it down. But she recommends having a notebook and put it by your bedside in case you're awakened with answers to your questions. And I do this. I'm not sure. I think you do this too. Before I go to bed, I'll ask for guidance to come for questions that I'm seeking, and then I'll have the answers by the time I wake up in the morning. And sometimes, like I said, I'll pop up and I'll jot down notes. Do you do that too?
Yeah, and you know, it used to be like that for me, and now I basically, you know, I'll try to create a space where I can go somewhere and kind of sit and be quiet for a few minutes to see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, depending on the issue, it might take, you know, 2 or 3 days or something, depending on what I've got going on. And
absolutely.
I try to
sure.
Right. And I try to be very mindful about, you know, what am I, you know, what's coming in front of me. It might be, you know, a TED talk, or it might be a song, or it might be, you know, mm-hmm. just somebody, a passing conversation that I'm walking past, that somebody might say something that triggers them something. It's like even our conversation we had on Flower for Living today, I've been, you know, looking at a lot of people that are coming into where they're changing their, you know, instead of being a he or she, they're turning into a they or them. And, you know, changing names and maybe even having surgeries and things like that with what's going on with everything. And I think, you know, everybody needs to be true to themselves. But we had this really great conversation about makeup and empowerment of being able to express yourself and things like that, that I hadn't really seen it from that perspective, that I thought was really helpful for me. So it's just like, you know, these kind of conversations that turn into these other ways of having it. It's like one of our members, Kim, too, was talking about her daughter, and then they had just had this conversation about how her daughter felt very empowered when she put her makeup on every day. And so all of us were kind of sharing the aspects of makeup, activity, and even for ritual and things like that, for ceremony and things like that, that hadn't really been discussed before with all of us. And I think it was really cool, because that's something with community that's so important. That's something that this chapter is really important about, is being able to come from a place of speaking from your sense of what's happening with whatever is happening in your life, and then being very open to other people helping you to kind of see different facets of what that can look like. And I really, you know, I'm so glad that we have this community now. I mean, we haven't been together for a year, and it feels like we're all have known each other for a long, long time, which is just beautiful.
So
and it's helping us to walk through
space,
what's happening with everything. Yeah.
Right, a sacred space for each of us to have follow our own, you know, guidance, and to support each other in living it. And I think that's really mm-hmm. the key. And I think having this unconditionally supportive, you know, people in our lives to help us do that. And one thing that she talks about here in this chapter is, how do you know the difference between this is higher self and guidance, or it's my mm-hmm. mind? And my experience, and she talks about it this way too, that if it's, you know, higher source, that, you know, that voice will be kind, it'll uplift you. If it's the mind, it tends to be more heavy, and it can drag you down. And how about you? Any mm-hmm. your experience, ways that it makes sense for you with knowing the
yeah.
difference between it's your mind and it's higher spirit?
Yeah, I would say that that's true, too, because normally I've noticed with my mind, it's like it tries to make logical sense of something. You know, it'll try to pull in, like, almost like it's almost like a scientific mind, as opposed to just the mind being open to whatever the messages are going to be. There has to be some kind of justification for something when it's mind. When it comes to something with the spirit, it's very much more heartfelt and more in my kind of bigger and wider and more heart expressed, as opposed to just mentally expressed. So I find that that's, you know, something with that. You know, they both have their place. I'm happy to have both of them. But part
right,
of that
well,
is,
right,
know,
and having the mind serve you, you know, serve you
right,
and your
right,
calling.
Instead of you
and
being,
not having
yeah,
to be
instead
the
of
lead.
You feeling like you've got to run off with all that and, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, you know,
it's
either
like
way
us
I can
using
be
the
okay
computer
with that.
And not the computer using us.
Right, right. Yeah. And I think that's
so
really
I love
true,
this
it,
paragraph
it,
where she talks about the differences. She says, here are some other ways to differentiate between the voice of your higher self, infinite self, and the voice of your fear-based mind. Following your higher voice feels very light and recharges your batteries, whereas following your fear-based mind drains you. Your higher self is unconditionally loving. Your higher self will always lead you to a deliberate, it'll never lead you to be deliberately hurt or cause harm to other people, while your fear-based mind makes you feel less than, as well as inadequate. So those are pretty clear distinctions. And if you,
yeah,
you know, I think it's about,
clear.
You know, making the commitment to say, I am committed to being my higher self, being connected to my higher self. And I will listen to my mind, but I'm not going to let it overrule me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that she goes on to say, you know, when you start getting into the flow, when you're following your inner guidance, your life is working smoothly and things happen effortlessly. It just feels great.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I know, that's how I feel most of the time. However, at times when I feel like something just knocks me off my flow, and she drops her frequency, then she feels like she's knocked off, and then, you know, things start to occur to kind of spiral you out of that. You just feel like you're in this lower frequency. So it's really important that, you know, she says, I can't even hear my voices anymore. So part of that is just like sometimes we just have to, you know, recheck ourselves. And I think it's really important, too. I was hearing a conversation with Lee Harris the other day, and he was talking about he had an episode during this month of March that he was going to be pre-recording a workshop and stuff that he had. And he just got knocked off with all the stuff happening in Ukraine and all that, that he just said, I just had to stop for a few days and not do anything until I took care of myself.
Wow. Good for him.
So, you know, yeah. And so he's just really trying to be a model of, you know, and you know, he had said that, you know, he's been having this knowing for a few years that, you know, it's self-care is, you know, yeah, it sounds all well and great, but it's like, no, it's essential. It's essential that you do that and catch yourself when you know that there's something going down. Because I can vouch for that. I've had, you know, days like I've maybe worked all week and then I wake up like on a Sunday and I said, I need to be in slow gear today. I can't go running around and get a bunch of stuff done that I thought I was going to get done. And, you know, I don't, you know, apologize for that. I just really listen to my body as soon as I wake up. And I said, this is going to be a slow day for me. And that's okay. That's okay. And then you know what? And I'm going to take a nap.
Yay, we're all about the nap.
I know. Yay for now.
I just want to talk a little bit about, and then there's a couple little exercises and then the meditation for ending, which I think is really beautiful, as always. But I when you talk about downloads and getting information, I'm going to talk a little bit about how I do it. And I want everybody, please hear this. You get it how you get it. It doesn't matter how anybody else gets it. And a lot of times it comes through your learning style and through different, you know, I'm very kinesthetic. So, and there's many types of learning styles. There's at least 8 documented, but many more than that. For me, I'm very kinesthetic, so my ears get hot. And I'll, like, you get this profound feeling in my body, that's right. And I just know it. I don't know everything, but when I get that, you don't want to bet against me. I kind of like in my mind's eye see neon signs for titles of workshops or things to do. That, and then I just, and how I, for me, a lot of times people who know me, when they start getting texts from me or emails from me, that just I'm just kind of processing, sending information, that's a download. And, you know, people that I trust, I will send it to so I can see what I'm experiencing. Otherwise, it's trapped in my body. So how do you experience receiving information, downloads, however you want to make sense of that, Rob?
I think it's kind of similar that when this, it's just a sense of, I just get very spacious inside. And it just kind of seems like everything gets really wide and spacious inside. And it's just like you said, you know, I start seeing things, maybe I'll see images or whatever. And it's kind of moving me to have the conversation with a person or whatever that I have going on. And it's very clear in the knowing of, like, this is what it is. If you just know. It's not a matter of, there's no question about this. And, you know, I've caught myself a few times when I've done, you know, counseling with people and stuff like that, that, you know, I might tune in with a flower or something like that. And, you know, I feel like I'm the caring mother. And I was like, this is how it's going to be, and this is what you need to do. You know, and I'm stopping myself, and then just me as a person, I'm like, wow, that was kind of tough. That was like, whoa, you're talking like that. But, you know, it's that adamancy of just like, you know, right. Please hear me because this is so important. And I've had that in my life where I've had those messages, and I've lost, you know, I had a dog once that I knew I needed to take care of her better and have a better, you know, like a cage community thing for her. Because I lived way out in a place where, you know, she needed to be protected, and she wound up, you know, passing away because she got attacked by other dogs. So it was something that I needed to make sure that I took care of, and it's something that I really own on a personal level because I had that loss. And I think I had that loss, you know, because of the fact that it was just like, you know, you can brush off these things of ideas like, oh, yeah, well, you know, that's just a thought. Is it a thought, or is it something that's really nudging you to something that's going to be caring and really helping you to have the best life you can possibly have? And it's just like what Anita talking about, you know, if it's raised in a higher vibration and, you know, it's like ask for more confirmation on that. Like I'm hearing this is what I need to do. I need to, you know, show me that I'm right. And we were sharing that this morning, you know, it could be, show me dimes or something. Show me rainbows. Show me a rubber duck. I mean, you know,
fire,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of an odd thing that, like, you know, there's no way that it wouldn't be like, you know, show me a rubber duck or whatever, you know, something
exactly.
that gives you confirmation. And spirit will help you. Spirit will comply with you, you know, and it's about having a relationship, you know, having a relationship with you. You know, it's just like any other relationship that you have. You know, the more that you care for it and you respect it and you respect one another's messages and, you know, the way we both feel about it, you know, you have say, you have control, you have free will. So in a matter of, like, how I can work with this and what works for me and what do I need to be able to be working with this energy. And, you know, spirit really just wants to work with you. So it's something that can be, you know, helping you to have balance, helping you to have boundaries, and helping you to have the voice that you need to have so you can serve people and yourself at the same time.
So to kind of bring this home, she talks about how our inner self is at a higher frequency than the mind. So one way to make sure, especially if you're not sure if information is mind or higher self, that you do some things to raise your frequency, which we did exercises, you know, we worked with Maria and other things in the last podcast, that, you know, like that you bring gratitude in, like doing the heart breath, which we've talked about before, imagining something that brings you great joy and putting your hands on your heart and breathing that in, and also imagine your aura expanding. You know, so those are a couple of things that you can do to just stop for a couple of minutes and do that. You know, do some heart breathing, do imagine your aura expanding, and then maybe listen to the information, and does it still ring true? And so at the end of each chapter, there's the a meditation, and this one is for tuning in. Would you like to read it, Robin, or would you like me to do it?
Sure, I'll do it. So this meditation will open your channels for receiving your guidance. Over time, these voices or downloads will just be a part of you in how you walk in the world. So as I sit quietly, I tune in to my inner guidance. I hear its still, small voice, not audible to the human ears. Sometimes it's not a voice, but a visual. It communicates in loving snapshots of telepathically, words, whether in words or pictures. I open myself up and inhale these snapshots into my senses. I breathe them into my heart and soul. I feel protected, and I feel loved. And I think it's interesting because I heard once that, you know, I was taught one time in a workshop that said spirit speaks in pictures.
Yeah, a lot of times.
So, you know, when
and
Miss Amy loves to have Disney snapshots.
That's right, baby. You got it.
We're talking along, and she's like, "You remember in Fantasia when they had a little fire spirit nap?" And yeah, it was like that.
Exactly.
And I think that's why it's such an important thing. You know, I love watching kids stuff because to me, I always love to have those as the things I use for snapshots. It helps to bring that in and help empower me. So I just love it. It's all good. So thank you guys for joining us. Thank you, Miss Amy. Exactly. And, you know, and people just say, oh, I'm just imagining. Imagining is the power. Imagining is bringing those things into your life and helping lift your life into whatever you need it to be. So imagine, you know, joy. Imagine all the wonderful things that are going. And I'm like, gee, what is it going to be like when that comes to me? And automatically be in appreciation of other people's, you know, joys and things that they're experiencing, because that just shows if it's coming for them, it's coming for you, because you wouldn't see it if you weren't ready for it.
COVID has given us all a restart. So let's take advantage of it.
Yes, enjoy it and have it be something that, you know, better than we could ever imagine. And it keeps coming and coming. We're like, woohoo, woohoo, it's all good. Okay, next week we'll be continuing our journey in the book here. It's going to be great.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.